Title of today's message is The Ultimate Revelation. I'm going to begin by quoting a prayer that we make here called Ha Elohim Asher, that is usually comes after the Amidah and before the Anim Amim. In the past, God spoke to our fathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But now in the end of days, he has spoken to us by the Messiah, his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the full radiance of God's glory and the flawless manifestation of his reality. He sustains all things by his powerful word. After he made atonement for sins, he sat down in the place of authority besides the majesty in heaven. This is usually followed by an eulogy of the word of God. Okay, and it's a number of adjectives and about the word. Turns out this is Hebrews 1:1-3. So it's a direct quote of the book of Hebrews. Keep that in mind as we begin. If you look into Christian theology, in Christian theology, Yeshua is defined as the ultimate revelation of God. The ultimate revelation of God, representing the complete and final disclosure of his nature, will, and purpose. However, I have an alternative but related definition. The ultimate revelation is not Yeshua per se, but what Yeshua came to do. In what he came to do, the ultimate revelation Yeshua came to do, was to disclose, to make known that Abba and Yah are the same. That we have, to speaking to his own people, that they have served Adonai, Yah Adonai, our Elohim. They've served him faithfully all these years. But there's a part of him that was not revealed. It was hinted at in the Tanakh, but it's not really become a reality until the Messiah is here. The Hebrews passage establishes that while the Almighty spoke in the past through the prophets in many times and in various ways, he has now spoken finally through his Son, who is the radiance of God's glory, the flawless manifestation of his reality. Okay? That is the exact representation of Yah Adonai. That's what that means. We look at other scriptures where Paul wrote, consider, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, the seen and the unseen, whether thrones or angelic powers or rulers or authorities. All was created through him and for him. He exists before everything, and in him all holds together. He is the head of the body, his community. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in all things. For God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in him. And you can compare that to Isaiah 6:3, where it talks about a child is born and a son is given, to Ezekiel 43, verse 5, and Ezekiel 44, verse 4. and through him to reconcile all things to himself, making peace through the blood of his cross, whether things on earth and things in heaven. That's in Colossians 1, 15 through 20. Notice again that Hebrews tells us that he's the flawless manifestation of his reality. Okay? He's not saying it's like his reality. He's not saying it's a mirror of his reality. He's saying it is the flawless manifestation of his reality. If you consider for a moment, the Yah Adonai Elohim is spirit. And we can't really experience him because we would be consumed instantaneously. So he sent his son so that we could experience the flawless manifestation of his reality. So we can experience the Father. I'm going to read you what Yeshua said to prove to you that that's absolutely correct. Here it is. This is the famous reading from John chapter 14. Thomas said to him, "Master, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" Yeshua said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you have come to know me, you will also know my Father also. For from now on, you do know him and have seen him." Yeshua said, "You know from this, you are going to know him." That's the word there, yodea, become intimate with him. Okay, and you have seen him with your eyes. Okay, the Jewish mindset doesn't comprehend that. That's brand new. These are all Jews that were his disciples. So the youngest one, you know, it's always the youngest one that has the chutzpah to say something. Philip said to him, "All right, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." In other words, show him to us. Let's see him. Yeshua said to him, "Have I been with you for so long a time, and you haven't come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Look at me." You know, it's like, let's play the song. Turn around, look at me. Okay? "Don't you believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak of my own, but the Father dwelling in me does his works." What is he saying? This wasn't my idea. This was the Father's idea. The one you don't know anything about. The one you will never be able to see. You're going to have a relationship with the Father, but through me. Because I am the explicit manifestation, the flawless manifestation of his reality. "Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me." Because this was so hard for them, Yeshua said, "Or at least believe of the works that I do themselves." It's in John 14. This is after the Passover, before the priestly prayer in the garden. This is just hours before. Well, hours is not that many, but hours before he's taken captive and taken in the passion of the Messiah takes place. Look what's going on here. The disciples can see, feel, touch, smell. They can see, they can interact with Yeshua because he's, God man, but he's man. But he meant they were seeing and interacting with the Father. You're interacting with me just as Yeshua, but here's what you don't know that I'm revealing to you. You're actually interacting with the Father. You're actually interacting with Yah, Abba, Father. Okay? Look at something else that John, the same writer, wrote. Chapter 1. And the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. We looked upon his glory. That glory is the glory of the one and only from the Father, full of grace and truth. Here John adds the following, verse 18. No one has ever seen Yah Adonai or Elohim. But the one and only God. But with Yeshua in the Father's embrace, he has made him known. So John's saying there is something he came to do, is to reveal the Father. Yeshua is the only God at the Father's side who has made him known. Okay? That means he revealed the Father. He, opened the curtain. Look, here it is. Here I am. Here he is. Ultimate means final. The best or the most extreme of its kind. A good synonym is utmost. Original, basic, and fundamental. And the most remote in space or time. Also called the farthest. The unrevealed nature of the Almighty God is now made known to man. He is not only Yah Adonai or Elohim, which he's been from the beginning, but now he's also Yah Abba. We say Abba Father in Christianity. Okay? He is also our Father. This is the fact behind all other facts. This is at the utmost, at the farthest, the ultimate, that Yah Adonai or Elohim created the universe as Father. Listen what I just said. Yah Adonai or Elohim created the universe not just as God, but as Father. And that's really pretty important. In other words, he's Yah Abba Father. Not just Yah Adonai or Elohim, but Yah Abba Father. That means, as a father, he left his Father's imprint in every aspect of creation. Okay? Consider the following. Just some examples, okay? I could do pages of this, but just a few. It says in Ephesians 3, 14 and 15, for this reason I fall on my knees before the Father, from whom every fatherland in heaven and on earth receives its name. Okay? So, did you know that this word that's translated fatherland in Greek is patria? Okay? Which is derived from pater, which is in the other language that was known at that time, means dad. Padre noster. Okay? Padre nuestro. The Greek word for father, okay, is also shares both in Greek and in Latin. Same word. Because, you could surmise like the rabbis do, Because it's about him, it doesn't change. It doesn't change. You go from language to language, and it changes the least amount. Pater noster, pater in Greek, and in Spanish, okay, the word patria, okay, which comes from pater, is a Spanish word for homeland. Literally, what that means is the home of my father. The home of my father. So let's translate that again with that understanding. Therefore, I bow my knees to the Father, from whom every fatherhood in heaven and earth derives his name. Okay, it's appealing a little at a time. I hope you get it. All I could write here is amazing. All fatherhood in the universe did not begin on earth. Okay? Nor did it begin with time or human history. It began with the Almighty in heaven. Because it in many places we've read that he was with him at the beginning. We read that in Proverbs. We read that all over the Tanakh and all over the New Testament. I was with him. Okay? And the Spirit was with them too. I don't understand that, okay? I'm not trying to say I understand it. I'm just going to say what it says. Okay? And the part that it's kind of got left out is that awesome, to be feared, God of the Tanakh, which is the way most Jewish people know him. My colleague at the university met a girl and fell in love with her. She's a believer, so he started going with her, and started this Jewish guy, my partner, started running the PowerPoint for Grace Church over there on right by close to 91st, that big one. I went many years ago when this was still not developed yet. I went to see this Jewish guy, 100% Jew, Eric Schwartz. And he was running all of that. And I'm going, in fact, I said to him, you ought to be doing this for me. Okay? So he continued to do that. They fell in love. They courted while they were there. And the pastor of Grace, Mary, agreed that they should get married. I did the wedding. Okay, what? I said, well, what can you relate your experience? Because he became a believer while at Grace Methodist. Okay? He said the following: Jesus is a much nicer God than the God of the Old Testament. Okay? I didn't just go and rebuke, I just listened to what he had to say. The Jewish people view Yah Adonai or Elohim as an awesome, but to be feared and kind of loveless guy. How wrong is that? So so much of what Sam is talking about is becomes very clear, because the children of Israel came to, after 430 years, they've just forgot all about everything. And now they're learning who he is, but they're going to learn that in a more intimate way. Yet, We don't read the words of comfort and the words of love or any of those things. They get overshadowed by 3,000 fell at his side and, you know, and this happened over here and all of that. So for them, for the Jewish people, there is a respect to Yah Adonai, a huge amount of respect. And this concept of a personal Savior doesn't exist. They're not looking for a personal relationship with him. We have it through Yeshua, but we don't really understand them. We can help them understand us, because that's what Yeshua came to do. I love the fact that all fatherhood in the universe did not begin with Adam and Eve. It already existed in heaven. Okay? In other words, it all goes back to the fatherhood of Yah Adonai or Elohim. Or if you like, Abba Yah. Okay? Eternally, he is the father of Yeshua, HaMashiach. Eternally, there's no question there. He's described in such many parts of the Bible. The intimate personal relationship between the Father and his Son existed even before creation began. That's part of what Yeshua is sharing with the apostles. John began that section that we read from the book of John. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God at the beginning, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us and tabernacled among us. In other words, Yeshua. This fact reveals something unique and special about the nature of Yah Adonai, our Elohim. In him, there is not only fatherhood, but there's also relationship. See, that part is again, not typically known by even Jewish people that come to Yeshua. 1 John 4, 7, and 8 reveals something about Yah Adonai or Elohim's nature, right? Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of Yah, and everything that loveth is born of Yah, and knoweth Yah. He that loveth not, knoweth not Yah, for Yah is love. Beloved, let us love one another. 1 John 4, 7, and 8. Okay. If you put this together with fatherhood, we arrive at the most wonderful conclusion. Yah as Father created the universe in love, not to punish it, not to bring all those deaths, not to all of that, that erroneously my good friend and colleague, who still, by the way, still serves God and all those things. So in countless ways, the universe he created, look at the following, is the expression of the outworking of his fatherly love. Here it is. Fatherly and love together. The thing that we most thirst for. Especially in this world we live in. Therefore, it is true then that Yah Adonai or Elohim has created us and everything. And all of it is going to respond to his fatherly love. All of it. Can't help it. The heavenly bodies move in harmony with their creator. That's Psalm 104, verse 19. The stars answer to their names when he calls them. Psalm 147, verse 4. No matter how turbulent the elements appear at times, they always obey their creator's voice. Psalm 148, verse 8. The same is true of animal creation, Psalm 104, verse 21. And then the psalmist describes in Psalm 104, look at the sea. Look at the countless creatures. All of them look to you to give them their food when they need it. Psalm 104, 25 through 27. Look, it was a consequence of his fatherly love that these statements are made. So Yeshua said, you remember that? You remember when he talked about this? Not a sparrow cannot fall to the ground unless the Heavenly Father knows. Okay? And it talks about how the creation is beautiful, that even Solomon wished couldn't be arrayed as beautiful as the lilies of the field. Okay, Yeshua begins to elucidate something that had been kind of hidden. It's hidden to the people of Elohim. They just really couldn't relate to him. So one of the things the Messiah came to do was to bring their father back to them. Look, there is nothing the Almighty has created. In fact, which he's not intimately concerned with. He's concerned with everything as a father. His fatherly love extends to every creature in the universe. How much more, Yeshua said, how much more? Aren't you worth more than these? How much more, in Matthew chapter 6, are you worth? Okay? Talking to the disciples. And that sounds like good poetry. But what it's actually saying is, look around. I really take care of everything. I think it's okay if you trust me. To tie it with Sam's. Yet there are two classes of his creatures that are alienated. The sea's not alienated. The birds are not alienated. The flowers aren't alienated. The lilies aren't alienated. They don't, even the rocks, okay? But there's two of his creation. And one is the enemy and his angels. And they went beyond being able to be reconciliated. And the other one is us. The other one is us. Okay? Sinful humanity. Satan and his angels rebel beyond any possibility of reconciliation. But fallen man can be reconciled through Yeshua HaMashiach. Therefore, he has the ministry of reconciliation that Paul talked about. And their reconciliation is reconciliation to the Father. Okay? Got it? Yeshua was sent by the Father to accomplish two purposes. You can say one is kind of negative and one's positive. The negative, kind of negative, is he was sent to die. That's kind of negative, okay? He was sent to die as a penalty for our sins so that we might be forgiven and reconciled. Don't forget that word, reconciled to Yah Adonai Elohim. When we're reconciled to him, we're reconciled if we recognize we're not just being reconciled to God, we're reconciled to Abba. We're reconciled to our Father. The positive purpose was to reveal Yah Adonai Elohim as our Father. That's giving us membership into an already existing heavenly family. Got it? Giving us membership. You know, and it goes through Abraham, etc., because that's the way he decided he wanted to do it. In many sections of the body, great emphasis is placed on the first purpose of his coming, to die for our sins and to reconcile us to the Almighty. Awesome. But that he came to do way much more than that. It is right that this purpose be emphasized because it's essential. It's the essential first step. At the cross where I first saw the light, okay, the essential first step is to go to the cross where he died. But it should not be at the expense of the second purpose, which is to reveal Yah Adonai, our Elohim, as Abba, Father. And therefore, we become members of his family, the family of the Messiah. In John 17, called the priestly prayer, okay, the priestly is picked on purpose. Okay, this is the last thing that happens before they come to get him. This has become, it's called the priestly, high priestly prayer on behalf of his Talmidim. It was, in fact, the last communication that he could have with them before his arrest. All the other things you got is a little word here and there, like the seven words at the, you know, the seven phrases at the cross. Both at the beginning and the end of the prayer, Yeshua makes the following speech, that the Almighty's name needs to be known. The Almighty's Father's name needs to be known. Okay? Look, let me read to you part of it. I made your name known to the people you gave me out of this world. Okay? And then in verse 26, I made your name known to them. And I will continue to make it known, so that the love which you have, love me, may be in them, and I myself may be united with them. That we will have the same love, the same everything. What was the name that Yeshua made known to his disciples? I love this, because what are you going to tell me? Yud Hey Vav Hey. I beg to differ. I'm doing a Sam now. The name that nobody knew. Look, the children of Israel know Yud Hey Vav Hey. It's in Exodus. It's all over the Torah. Okay? And even nowadays, they still know that name. They call it Hashem. They call it the name, the tetragrammaton, whatever. It has some meaning. They may not know how to pronounce it, but they know what it is. Okay? It's not the sacred name that Yeshua came to be made known. That's already known. It was been known for 1,400 years prior to that time. It was a new name. A name that is hinted in the Hebrew scriptures, but never really openly revealed. The Messiah came to reveal it. The name is Abba. Yah Abba, our Elohim. Yah Abba, our Elohim. Okay? The name Abba Father, Yeshua described him that way 6 times in this particular prayer. 6 different times. Okay? I know that we also use that to say that his actual real name in Hebrew should be known. But you don't have to deal with that if you don't want to, because Father is okay. Abba is okay. Look, here's what it says. I have manifested, which means made known, your name. Okay? Webster Dictionary defines manifest to make evident or certain by showing or displaying. Yeshua did not merely offer his disciples a theological definition of the Almighty. Yud Hey Vav Hey. Okay? He made known that his name to us is also Daddy, which is what Abba means. By the way, he lived his life before them. He demonstrated that he had an unbroken relationship fellowship, and total dependence and reliance on Yah Adonai, our Elohim, which he called not the tetragrammaton. He called him Abba. Oh, well, let's do what Yeshua did. Let's do what, you know, what is it? Okay, what do you call him?
Abba.
Okay. Should we not also call him? It turns out this is a great revelation because nobody had seen anyone do that. So one of the reasons for the Messiah being here, I think a really, really important reason, besides, yes, it's through his passion and that I'm reconciled, that I can serve him now, but the other side of the coin is that I can become part of his family, that we are part of something, that we have been grafted in into Israel, into the same family, the same blood lineage and all that of Abraham. If you're in Abraham, if you're in Messiah Yeshua, you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. That's what Paul wrote. More literally, now you can really look at the words of Hebrews 1, verse 3. The last words of that can be translated, but in the end days, when I first read it, but in the end, okay, he has spoken through his son, right? In the end days, he has spoken through his son. Let me offer you the following. The Almighty has in the end days spoken to us in a son. He not only spoke to us in a son. The fact he sent his son was speaking. And that, look, if we become his brothers, and we know that we become his brothers, we know that we become his friends, I called you friends, da-da-da-da, all of that, is to say, you've got the same daddy. Listen, many of you need to put that in there. Many of us fatherless types need to put that in there. We know that we've had the Heavenly Father as our dad, but how important, it was really important to Yeshua. This is what he spent his time after that Passover before he went to the cross. This is the meat of what happened according to John, from John 13 until John 18. It's all about revealing the Father. The writer states that the Almighty did not merely add to the message of the Tanakh by the ministry of Yeshua. Instead, the writer of, it says the writer because we don't know who wrote Hebrews, although there's a great theory that says that Luke wrote Hebrews, which would be kind of interesting, huh? Because he wrote the Acts of the Apostles also. He was Paul's companion the entire time, right? So when he quotes, he's quoting from the teacher. Paul's a teacher. So it sounds like Paul, but it isn't his style. That's, you know, so people know that. So they say, well, maybe Apollos did or whatever. I think Luke is a better candidate than Apollos. Okay? Luke is Jewish, by the way. But instead, the writer of the book of Hebrews reveals that Yeshua was a different kind of messenger. Okay? He was not merely a prophet. He was his son. Don't get excited. You go ahead. He brought a revelation that had never been given before. The revelation that only a son can bring. If there's a son, there is a father. Got it? Got it. Okay? Yeshua emphasized that he is the only person who could bring that revelation. And that in seeing Yeshua, you could see the Father. Matthew 11:27, and I'm finished. My Father has handed over everything to me. Indeed, no one fully knows the Son except the Father. And no one fully knows the Father except the Son. If he left it there, we have this chasm. But he didn't leave it there. Let me quote you the conclusion of the verse. And to those whom the Son wishes to reveal him. The Son wished to reveal the Father. The most important thing prior to when he's getting ready to die for our sins and all those things is to reveal to them, that's your daddy. That's your daddy. Kol Simcha, that's your daddy. Yud Hey Bav Hey is your daddy. Seem right to me that in the month that we honor fathers, the month of June, that we should honor our Father, the Father, Yah, Abba Father. Yes? Shalom.